Okay, well, let's start with the Stafford Act. Again, it's sometimes I feel like I have to back up and start out with high school civics at times because there's this assumption that we have what I call a national system that FEMA manages and directs response to disasters. The reality is governors and local officials direct and respond to disasters, many of which will never result in federal assistance. And it is the federal system that is the cornerstone of the Stafford Act that essentially says that all disasters are local. It doesn't say that specifically, but the implication is that until a disaster overwhelms the state's ability to effectively manage it with state resources, it is the responsibility of the state's governor and their team to support local response. But when it does warrant, and oftentimes that is a financial threshold of a declaration, a governor may request from the president that the state is declared a disaster area and that certain provisions of the program are turned on. In many disasters, the response has already been concluded by local responders before that request ever reaches FEMA. So I'd say 90% of our disasters, many of which won't make the national headlines, were based upon a response that state and local government responded, but is in the recovery, particularly the financial impacts of that recovery and rebuilding and the cost of response, that states have requested that assistance, the president's concurred. And so much of the time, FEMA's job as administering the Stafford Act is the reimbursement parts of the program. So that was the model going into many of these larger disasters that oftentimes produce a sense of frustration. People oftentimes describe FEMA as the federal 911 system, when the reality was FEMA was basically built around reimbursing for previous disasters, and that very few disasters really exercise the authorities FEMA had on behalf of the president to coordinate federal response. And you saw that in several disasters, most notably the Katrina response, where it was implied that FEMA may not have the authority to pre-position or order up supplies or to commit resources until the governor has made that formal request. Congress recognized that they needed to clarify that. So one of the things that happened with the post-Katrina Emergency Management Reform Act is FEMA is not precluded from ordering up response, whether it be contracting for resources or tasking Department of Defense or other parts of the federal family prior to the governor's request. And I'll give you an example. America Samoa was struck by a tsunami earlier this year. Earthquake occurred off the coast. A tsunami struck the islands. Notification came in to us in the early afternoon. I was able to communicate with our Region 9 folks that were getting the initial reports of the damages. We were able to converse with the governor. From that, historically, what would have happened, we'd had to send teams onto the island to assess it and see how bad it was, help the governor formulate a request and get the paperwork into the White House and get that approved. And then we would turn around and determine what assistance the governor needed based upon their assessments, and then we'd order up those resources and we'd send them down there. Well, that works pretty good if the disaster is well within the capabilities of the state to respond to, and then we're just talking about recovery. This was not the case in America Samoa with the tsunami. So we used the authorities under the post-Katrina Emergency Management Reform Act. One, we started sending things based upon the population of the islands. We weren't sure how bad it was, but we knew the population of the islands, so we started mobilizing those resources. We knew it had to go in by air because ships would take too long, and we had to make sure we had a runway. So we worked with our partners in DHS, Coast Guard, and TSA, A, to make sure the runways were usable, and two, to use Coast Guard aircraft to fly in the first teams. And we made it very clear we weren't flying down to do assessments. We were flying down there to provide support. And based upon the governor's initial descriptions, we asked the White House to approve the governor's verbal request for a major presidential disaster declaration with no assessments. From the time of this event to the declaration made was less than 8 hours. From the time our first team was on the ground was literally limited by the fact that they had to clear off one of the runways. But within 24 hours, we had our first teams on the ground. And we had set the goal of stabilizing the response in 72 hours. And the governor reported to us that he considered the island stabilized within 48 hours. And that his primary focus was now switching to power generation because they lost a power plant. So we worked with the Corps of Engineers and our partners at the Department of Defense to fly in generators to provide that assistance. Now, that model is the way we operate. Oftentimes, the description of our programs is disasters happen locally. It exceeds their capabilities. It goes to the state. They assess, it sees their capabilities, it comes to us. It almost describes dominoes have to fall before we can engage. And that is not how we operate. And the Post-Katrina Emergency Management Reform Act made it clear that was not Congress's intent. That oftentimes on small disasters where the response was handled by the states, yes, we do look at impacts, we do the assessments, and we determine if it warrants it. But in disasters where it is evident that a response is needed, that we cannot wait for the assessments, we are no longer precluded from providing that direct response and that assistance in a very timely manner.